Robinson, and I will be your servant today. Let's bow our heads as we thank God for worship in this hour and in this place. We thank you, precious Lord, for each new day that you have blessed us with. And we pray your blessings upon us today as we worship your glory and praise your holiness. Thank you, God, and thank you for everyone who is here today in this family of God we call Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you are worshiping with us for the first time, I invite you to fill out one of the registration cards. It says, welcome. It's in the pew, and you may put that in the offering plate. We want to know a little bit more about you. We're so glad to have you as a part of our worship service and pray that you feel at home with us. If you don't, that's on us. We try to make everyone feel that they are a part of the family of God as we find it here at Calvary. And I want to point out to you before we greet one another, the letter in the bulletin is from our bishop, and there's a lot of information in here. It's two-sided, so you've got to sit down and read it a little bit. But one of the important things is he's having a town hall meeting tomorrow night, 6:30, at Mandarin United Methodist Church, and that is announced in the announcements. If you forget what I've told you, just look up under here, Bishop's Town Hall Meeting in the bulletin, and it gives you information. Everyone is invited to come hear our bishop talk. He does these every year in locations around the conference, and tomorrow he's at Mandarin United Methodist at 6:30. Why don't we greet one another with the peace of Christ? Blessings. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Ferdy, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Calvary. My name is Larry Rood, and I worship and attend here at Calvary. I am right now your present lay leader, head of the Methodist men and organizer for the food bank. So a few hats. There's a few announcements. One of the most important ones is tonight is church council. Bob has asked me to announce everyone, please come attend. One of the main topics is going to be our pumpkin patch. October is next week, next Sunday. The pumpkins arrive on the 7th. We have a lot of organizing to do to get things ready for the pumpkins and to plan for this year's pumpkin patch. So please come to the council meeting tonight. Bring your ideas with you. Bring your volunteer pen that says I'll help. And we look forward to seeing you there. There is no prayer warriors tomorrow night, Monday. There is a nominating committee meeting on Wednesday night. And basically that's the major announcements for there. Reminder, October 11th. Reminder, October 11th at Grace Episcopal Church is a community prayer and for the events that are going on in the country. Food bank, now that I get to put that hat on. We are desperate need plastic grocery bags. Please start bringing them back in. At one point we had too many. Now we're almost down to half a can. We do also need peanut butter, jelly, and pasta. Let's see, I got the pumpkin patch done. Yep, that's the next one. The Finance Committee, and I asked them to put one up here so I could show you. This is the calendar. This is for sale to everybody here in the church. They need people to buy them. They're beautiful. You can write on them. You can actually erase on these. Unlike most calendars. Calendars will be available at the council meeting tonight. This is a fundraiser event for the church, so please bring funds with you tonight to get your calendar. Or you can see, I'm sorry, they are $8 a piece or 2 for $15. They're beautiful. I mean, there's, you know, and you've got them in the office too, don't you, Sue? Okay, and they're also available in the church office. Please get a calendar to help support the efforts of the Finance Committee to help our cash flow. If you would turn in your bulletins to the opening words. Call on the name of God and give thanks. Make known God's deeds among the people. Sing and tell of God's wonderful works.
Let those who seek God rejoice in their hearts.
Let us worship God and pray together. Lord, whether we have come to you from long ago or have just come to you now, you reach out with love and blessing for each of us. Help remember in your love, and offer greetings and blessings to each other. In your name, amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to number 371. We'll sing, I Stand Amazed. turn to 881, we'll have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Everybody, I have a birthday tomorrow. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but it is safe to say I'm older than all three of you sitting here. Isn't that safe to say? Safe to say I'm older than these three. So don't you think that means, since I'm older, that God should love me more? I heard somebody said no, they didn't think so. You don't think so? What about you, Zachary? Should God love me more? No? What about you, Bradley? You don't think so either? Oh, he loves us all the same. Now, does that mean that he loves Mr. Gene Clark over here more than me? Because Gene Clark is older than me and you. So, shouldn't God love him the most?
How much older is Mr. Bill Walker than you?
Well, you guys are absolutely right. God doesn't care how old we are. God doesn't care how much we've done. God loves us all the same. Isn't that amazing? That's what we call amazing grace. We can go to God at whatever age we are, whatever time of life, and God's love is available for us. And that is the most amazing thing of all. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, O God, for the wonderful gift of grace. We sometimes think we deserve it more than others, but guess what? God, you love all of us the same. We thank you and we pray your blessing upon us, especially those who have gathered here to worship you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here we go. Let's have some candy. You're welcome. There you go. You're welcome. we continue to worship God in spirit and in truth as we partake of our morning offering. We continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our gifts. Will you come? Let us pray. God, we offer ourselves in love and gratitude for all that you have done. We pray that you will teach us your ways and your truth, that we may be your servants in all that we say and all that we do, because your love, dear God, includes us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Take my place.
that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, then I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is a failing love that you would take my place, that you would bear.
Amazing choir.
No matter how small or big.
No matter how small or big. Some of you have asked about my parents and where they are, and I just want to let you know my father is fine. He came back from the evacuation of the storm and is settled back into the health center. A little bit confused about what happened and why he's not, my mother's not there. He's not quite sure what's going on. My mother was evacuated to Georgia, and her building at Westminster Woods was flooded because it's right on Julington Creek. And so they're having to redo all the carpets and all the rooms and probably start over in some instances. I don't know what is going to be saved from my mother's apartment and what isn't. But because it's under construction, they took her from the group that went to Georgia, and they took them down to World Golf Village, which, as you know, is about 20 miles or so down the road, and that's why she's not here today. But she misses, I saw her and my father on Friday, and she said she missed being here. She loves being here, and she wants to go back so bad, and I don't know when it will be ready. I know it's not ready yet. And the others that I know of, I've just learned of some of these this morning, so I haven't had a chance to put them on the board yet. But I wanted to mention a couple of people that we should keep in our prayers. Bob Lambing is having some more issues with his heart, and so we need to remember him. Myra Nichols is in the hospital at Orange Park with a blood clot. Kay Lewis, that comes to our early service, is dealing with some health issues that she wants us to be in prayer for. I want us to pray for Andy, who is going through some health concerns and some tests, and we need to keep him in our prayers today. Bill White, who just had some surgery on his scalp. Chuck Long has been transferred from the hospital into Life Care Center on Wells, is that right, or is it Kingsley? On Wells, okay, Life Care Center on Wells. Jean Story would like prayers for her PET scan on Wednesday. This is her first PET scan following her chemotherapy treatment for her cancer, and she would like to have our prayers for that test that she has on Wednesday. Let's go to God in prayer, spending some moments just to acknowledge God's presence, because God is here. Just invite God to you and say, "Yes, Lord, today I have opened myself to the call that you place upon my life." And then when you feel called or led, you may share the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that you would especially like God's healing touch to surround in a very special way. People of Mexico. The needs are great, dear Lord, but your love is greater. It is amazing grace because it includes us all. We can't do anything to earn it. We just have it because of the love that you showed us through the gift of your Son, who showed us the way, the truth, and the life, and then went on to die and be raised again. Please, dear Lord, continue to help us to grow in your grace and love, and help us to be the people you have called us to be at Calvary United Methodist, in ministry and witness to a world in need, as we pray together the prayer that he taught by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing "The River Is Here."
Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. You can follow along on the screen or in your pew Bibles on page 26 of the New Testament. For the kingdom is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went back out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I have chose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am gracious and generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So reads the word of the Lord. God.
Perhaps the most upsetting image of the kingdom of heaven Jesus offers us is that of the generous employer who keeps on hiring workers all day. Early in the morning, he offers good wages to a group of workers. And he asks them if what he is offering is fair. And they say, yes, it is. But every hour, the employer hires more. And lo and behold, he offers the same wages to those who start at the end of the day as he is paying to those who have worked all day. The all-day workers grumble, unfair. But the generous employer chides them, saying, you were happy with the wages I offered. Are you envious because I am generous? And then he warns them, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The flipping of the order of the world is a repeated theme of Jesus, and he often links it to the kingdom. Now, the kingdom, which we talk about regularly, is the place where God reigns and we can live in the presence of God. And Jesus says the kingdom can be anywhere among us now, today, or ahead of us after death. Whenever time opens into grace, the kingdom is there. Now, all the players in these kingdom parables are images of God, and can be images for us to fulfill if we choose. We have in today's scripture the generous employer. But there are other parables where we hear about the careful gardener, the wild sower, the baker who bakes enough bread for everyone, the diligent coin seeker, and of course, the good shepherd. The buyer who sells everything for a pearl or the treasure in a field. All of these are images of God. And notice that some of the images are male and some of them are female. Everyone, Jesus says, can be like God, just as God is male and female. But these images sometimes trip us up and make us balk at accepting it. Because the kingdom requires that we give up cherished values, long-standing opinions, in order to enter into the presence of God. An example of that is this debate that we are in now in our country about generosity, specifically about generous hospitality to dreamers. I don't know if you know who dreamers are. These are adults who have lived in the United States since they were small children. Their parents brought them here. They've never known another country. English is their primary language. They've attended American schools their whole life. And they are productive, taxpaying citizens doing all kinds of work and contributing to the support of this nation. Now, protesting against the DACA Act, which is would allow them to stay here, are those who feel it is unfair that they entered without due process. But there's a dark side to this fairness argument. Sending these adults back to a homeland that is not their home would subject them to misery, for they are unfit for life there in every way. It would separate them from their communities, their friends, their jobs. Not to keep them here, many feel, is cruel. Now, in Jesus' parable of the generous employer, the same reality is present. Those who worked the fewest hours will not be able to live on the little pay an hourly rate would afford. They need a full day's pay. And if the employer is willing to offer it, why should we, who have had the assurance of a full day's work, complain? This is the 500th year, I'm sure all of you know this, this is the 500th year of Martin Luther's Reformation. We just talked about that in our Sunday school class. We celebrate his recognition that no one can work enough to earn salvation from sin. That is the grace, the amazing grace of God that saves us. Not the amount of work we do or the deeds we amass before we die. It is grace, pure and simple. Luther reflects this parable in this way. We are not engaged by God in a life where those who work the hardest win the right to enter heaven. Nor are we competitively engaged in producing good works in order to earn the right to be a part of the kingdom. Jesus says simply that that is not so. Whenever you work, whatever length of time, you are part of the kingdom. There's this wonderful story that I heard about recently that was turned into a film, and it's called All Saints, and it's about a little church in Tennessee called All Saints. And it's the story of what happened to this tiny little church when the older English-speaking congregation could no longer support the building. They were dying off, getting smaller and smaller. And they were in anguish about what to do and how to keep going. Well, what happened was a group of desperately poor immigrants from Burma settled in their town and came to their church. Now, these immigrants were not the answer to the poor white folks' prayers. They needed a huge amount of support, and they needed the church to change its ways. So what happened to this church was a miracle. not the magic wand kind of miracle that we all want, but another kind of miracle that Jesus talks about in the kingdom parables. Everyone in the church had to work incredibly hard. Setbacks occurred, and they occurred when people were exhausted from all the work. This church in Tennessee, the future was hard for them to picture. So they had to keep going in faith when many of them wanted to stop or to give up. And the miracle was not so much what they did, but what happened to them along the way. After every setback, they became a little bit closer to one another. They became more and more of a community and lived more and more by faith. They argued, yes, they did. As Jesus tells us, the workers in the kingdom argued about what was just and fair. So we learn that argument is part of life in the kingdom. It's not all kumbaya moments. And that makes the kingdom a little bit like America, a place where we have to do the difficult work of making room for people whose experience isn't like ours, but who are exactly the people we need in this moment. Only we can't see it at first. We can only see it at last. So in all kinds of ways, the first becomes last, and last becomes first. In the parable, in hope, in kingdom time, which is our time, and in faithful living. The parable of the generous employer is about grace and mercy and the image of God in us and in the world. If you have a difficult time seeing the image of God in yourself or in your neighbor, I want you to consider giving yourself to Christ and letting yourself be held up by his love, because that is all that we are and all that we need comes from him, and it's possible for you and for me. Amen and amen.
If you would stand and look to the screen behind me. We'll sing Fear Not.
Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you.
love that because it claims the fact that we have nothing to fear. Because grace has claimed us. Grace surrounds us. Grace upholds us. And grace is for all of us. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as you leave this place. Go in His peace. Amen.
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 Amen. Great talk.
Fear not.
What's happening?